All right, the passage that we read from Luke chapter 22 is when Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples. Peter and John had prepared the Passover supper, and they'd already eaten the Passover lamb. Jesus had already given the instructions for what we celebrated this morning, the Lord's Supper. He'd already made the statement, "Behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table." And in Luke, we don't know who it was, but in the book of John, Peter whispered to John, who was leaning on Jesus' breast, "Ask him who it is, ask him who it is." And Jesus said, "The one who after I dip the sop and give it to, that's the one." And he dipped the sop and gave it to Judas. They'd already had an argument among themselves, the disciple had, as to who was going to be the greatest. I mean, Jesus had spent the past 3 years preaching that, you know, we should put others, that Christians ought to put others first. He came and put others first as he came. And they were arguing about who was going to be the greatest. And again, it doesn't tell us in the book of Luke, but in the book of John, he took off his robe, wrapped himself in a towel, and gave him an object lesson as he washed their feet. He said, he said, "I'm your master. And yet I've been your servant. And now you need to go out and be servants to others." And then he says to Peter, as we read in the verses, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen then thy brethren." We didn't read them this morning, but in the next couple of verses, Peter said to Christ, "Hey, I'm on your team. I'm ready to go wherever you go. I'm ready to die for you." And Jesus said, I'll tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, but before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. I mean, Peter had said, "Yeah, I'm going to stand with you to the end. There's nothing that can pull me away from you." And Jesus said, "Well, I'll just tell you before the morning comes, three times you're going to deny that you even knew me." I was thinking last night, it wasn't a very pleasant way to spend the last meal with your friends before you were going to die. I mean, just think about it. One of the 12 was going to betray him. They were arguing about who was going to be the greatest, even though they spent the last 3.5 years hearing to put others first. The leader of the group, Simon Peter, says, "I'll die for you," but before the night's over, he's going to deny Jesus 3 times. Later that night, he's going to take 3 deeper into the garden and ask him to pray with them, and they're going to fall asleep. And then as the soldiers come to arrest him, all of them are going to scatter and run. And the way that he was treated by his disciples, the way that he was treated by his friends, was part of the agony of the crucifixion. Is part of the suffering that he endured as he paid for our sins. This morning, I just want to look at those 2 verses, and I have a 2-point sermon. And by the way, I know what time it is. I know I have less time on the Lord's Supper a morning, and so you don't need to be looking at your watches. When the time comes, I'll land, even if I'm not ready to. All right? But 2 points this morning. Number one, Satan has a desire to have us. Satan has a desire to have us. When Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has a desire to have you," you could put your name in that sentence. I could put that name in that sentence. Peter learned it firsthand. Later in his life, he would write in 2 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Satan wants every single one of us. He wants, first of all, for all of us to go to hell. Now, if you're here and you're saved, he's already lost you, like Brother Leonard said in the Sunday school lesson. There's no way you're going to lose that. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Not because of what you did, but because of what Jesus Christ did on Calvary. I mean, that's why salvation is eternal. If it was dependent on something that we did or had to do, all of us would be hopelessly lost. We wouldn't have a chance. But our salvation, my salvation, does not depend on something that I do. It's dependent on something that Jesus did. When he went to the cross, he took all my sins and he paid for every single one of them. But if you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, just know for a fact, Satan wants you to go to hell. The Bible says God's not willing that any should perish. Satan wants everybody to perish. God's not willing that anybody go to hell. Satan wants everybody to go to hell. His desire is for every man, woman, boy, and girl to go to hell. His desire that is that every father, mother, and child go to hell. His desire that every grandpa, grandma, and grandchild go to hell. His desire is every aunt, uncle, and cousin go to hell. His desire is every friend, neighbor, and acquaintance go to hell. And he will lie, and he will cheat, and he will deceive, and he will do anything that he can to get you to reject the gospel, to never receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and to go to hell. Now, if you're saved this morning, Brother Leonard got it a little bit in the Sunday school lesson, he wants to destroy your relationship with God. He can't take away your salvation, but he can get you to where you think that God doesn't love you anymore. I want to remind you this morning that as a Christian, as a child of God, you can never be separated from the love of God. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature," which includes old snooty face, Satan, "nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And Satan would like to get us to forget that God loves us. And then he'd like to mess up our testimony. He'd like us just to not be able to witness at all for Jesus Christ. Jesus called us the light of the world. He said, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." And he'd like to ensure, Satan would like to ensure that that those lights are put out. He'd like to ensure that they never shine. He'd like to ensure that nobody hears about Jesus from us. And I want you to notice, all three of these things that I've mentioned, if they happen in our life, they are a failure of our faith. They are a failure of our faith. Because you see, first of all, without faith, you can't get saved. Without faith, you can't get saved. The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." Faith is a two-part thing. It's believing and then acting on what you believe. The Bible says in Romans 10:10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." For me to get saved, I have to have faith. And the Bible says God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. God has given to every person enough faith to get saved. I get impatient sometimes with these people that say, "Well, God has predestined some people to go to hell." Well, where do you see that at? God knows who's going to reject the gospel and who's going to accept it, but God deals to every person a measure of faith, enough faith to get saved, enough faith to believe that you're a sinner, enough faith to believe that there's a penalty for that sin, enough faith to believe that Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross, took all our sin upon himself, and died in our place, and enough faith to act on that and ask him to save you. And see, if you don't get saved, it's a failure of your faith. If we forget that God loves us, it's a failure of our faith. You see, that's what Satan was trying to do in the life of Job. You remember the story? Satan came up to heaven and presented himself before God. God said, "Where you been?" "Oh, I've been walking in the earth." And God said, "Have you considered my servant Job? An upright man, one that hates evil." And Satan said, yeah. "The only reason that he does that is because you put a hedge of protection around him and you bless him. Take everything he has away and see that he'll curse you." And God said, "Okay, go ahead, take everything away. Let's see." And you know the story. I don't have time to tell you. Satan took everything away from Job. His wealth, his animals. He came back to heaven. God said, "Hey, did you see? I told you he wouldn't turn against me. He still loves me and knows that I love him." Satan said, "Yeah, but you didn't let me touch his body. Let me make him sick. Let me do something to him." Okay, God said, "You can do it, but don't kill him." And so Satan gave Job boils all over his body. We find him in the junkyard where the fires burn, trying to get some relief from the heat, scraping his body with broken pieces of pottery. And what Satan was trying to do in Job's life by the circumstances of his life was try to convince him that God didn't love him anymore. And there are people in this room this morning that if they just look at the circumstances in their life, they might say, God doesn't love me anymore. That's where faith comes in. Faith needs to know that regardless of the circumstances in our life, we have a God who loves us. It says in Romans 8:28, for all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And we may not understand how God works, but we need to have enough faith to know that he loves us. And then when we don't witness, it's a failure of our faith. The Bible says four times, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. That we're only just after we get saved. And we need to live by our faith. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, we will never lead a life that shines for Jesus Christ. Without faith, we will never have a testimony that draws others to him. Without faith, we can never tell anybody about Jesus. So he desires to have us. He doesn't want us to get saved. He wants us to forget that God loves us. He wants to mess up our testimony so that we can never tell anybody about Jesus. But I want you to notice what Jesus said to Peter next. He says, but I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Oh, what a wonderful thought that Jesus prays for us. What a blessed thought that the one who sits at the right hand of the Father knows that Satan desires to have us, knows that he wants to keep us from getting saved, knows that he wants us to forget that God loves us, knows that he wants to mess up our testimony. What a wonderful, blessed thought that the one who sits on the right hand of God in heaven this morning looks to the Father and prays for us. And prays for us. He prays for our forgiveness, just like he did on the cross when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He prays that we'll come to know him and get that forgiveness. He has sent the Holy Spirit, and the Bible says the Holy Spirit woos us to the Savior. And I can almost picture it in my mind as Jesus sits in heaven, and as a sinner hears the gospel, as somebody takes the blessed word of God and presents to them how to get saved, I can almost see Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven as he looks down and he sees that transaction going on, and he says, come on, come on. Exercise the faith that you have. Believe that I did die for you, and act on that belief. Ask me to save you, and I will. He prays that people get saved. He prays that we will remember that God loves us. He made a promise. He said, yeah, you're going to be tempted. And Satan's going to be allowed to bring things into your life. But he said, I'll make you a promise. You'll never be tempted past what you can handle. He'll never take you past that line. He'll never put a load on you more than you can bear. And I'll make sure of it. I'll make sure of it. Job said, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. He said, I have faith. I've lost my wealth, I've lost my kids, I've lost my health, my wife has told me to curse God and die, And he said, bring it on. What else you got? Go ahead and take my life, because if you take my life, I'm going to die believing that my God loves me. And then he prays that we'll be a witness. He'll pray. He prays that we'll let our light shine, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. And you remember the promise that he made in the book of Matthew? He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. I'm with you always. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll always be there with you. So Satan desires to have us, but Jesus is praying for us. He's praying for us that our faith fail not. Now you see, the choice is up to us. I will tell you this morning that Christ's prayers are greater than Satan's desires. His prayers are greater than Satan's desires. But whether our faith fail not is up to us. He prays for us, and he gives us faith, but we have to exercise it. And when we fail to exercise it, we fail to please God. Because it says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So this morning, let me ask you. I'm done, but just let me ask you. If you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, why not? Just know he wants you to go to heaven. Satan wants you to go to hell. I mean, there's no in between. God wants you to go to heaven. Satan wants you to go to hell. You get to decide. And you decide that by exercising the faith that he's dealt to every man. You believe that he died for you, and you believe that if you ask him, he'll save you. And then you act on that belief, and you ask him to save you, and he will. I've never seen anybody that asked Jesus to save him that he turned away. Not one. Let me ask you this morning. So you're saved, and there's some things going on in your life, and Satan's put doubt in your mind about whether God loves you or not. We pictured the greatest evidence of his love this morning when we had the Lord's Supper. If God did not do anything else for me since he saved me, I would still know that he loved me because he sent Jesus to die in my place. So just keep looking back at the cross and exercise your faith and know that he loves you. And you're here this morning, and maybe Satan's taken out his squirt gun and squirted at you to try to put out your light, to try to get you to do something that would not be pleasing to God, that would destroy your testimony. Just tell him, get out of here, Satan. Get behind me. Get behind me. Get behind me. We need to be like Peter and John when they stood before the rulers, and the rulers told them, shut up. Quit telling people about Jesus. We need to be just like them when they said, we can't help it. We can't help it. If we tried to hold it in, we'd explode. We can't help but tell people about Jesus. He prays for us that our faith fail not. Exercise it this morning. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for making us aware of the devices of the devil. And I pray this morning, Father, that if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, today would be the day. They see their sin, they'd see the Savior, and they'd come and ask him to save them. I pray for the many Christians that are here. Father, as Satan tries to Help us think that you don't love us, or as he tries to put out our light, help us to exercise our faith and to be everything you want us to be. Please bless this time of invitation. If there's folks here that need to be saved, help them to come. If there's Christians here that need to decide something for you, help them to do that. And we'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in his name we pray.